we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, Redemption Church. Hello to all our podcasters, YouTubers, Facebook Livers, everybody. I would say that it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go these days. Anybody notice that? We're coming to you from Plano, Texas, just miles north of Dallas, Texas, and all of our online viewers, listeners. We'd love to see you one day, but definitely want you experiencing the joy of Jesus Christ wherever you are. We're in the third week of our sermon series. Somebody remind me the name of our sermon series.
Carols.
Carols. All right. Today, I want to bring your attention to an often overlooked yet powerful Christmas carol. We sang it just a few moments ago. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Everyone's heard that song, right? Raise your hand if you've heard that song. All right, good job. We just sang it, so everyone should have heard it. Our English translation of this song that you know so well was translated from Latin in 1861. So the song you just heard, that's an old song already. 1861 is when that was translated, but it was translated from Latin. And the Latin version of this song, I was shocked how old it is. Its origin goes back way further. There is evidence of this song existing and being spoken by Christians in the 6th centuries.
Oh, wow.
That's the 500s. That is quite a feat right there. That's over a millennia old, this song right here. And we... One thing, it's a great lesson to us, again, that we aren't the first people to grab a hold of the hope that's found in the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, you feel that hope in you, that's awesome. You are just joining with a long line of people that over the years have found hope in this. They have celebrated this when they were at the end of their rope. They reached out and grabbed hope of the hope that you were singing about today in the birth of Jesus Christ. The song was actually originally a chant. And we don't do too many chants nowadays in some liturgical churches. If you're ever around a liturgical church, you'll have a little bit more of that. But the actual technical term for this chant is antiphone. Can you say antiphone?
Antiphone.
Antiphone. There were 7 antiphones or chants that would be recited by believers in the days leading up to Christmas. And in fact, this antiphone would start on December 17th.
All right.
Way back in the 500s, on the 17th, people would gather daily, beginning on the 17th, going all the way to the 23rd, and they would chant an antiphone. And we're going to be looking at some of the things that they would chant from December 17th to the 23rd. Today, as we are looking at God's Word together, it is December 17th, and it just works out that we are joining with a long tradition. Now, some people are really turned off by tradition, and I would tell you tradition in itself has no power, but the Word of God always has power. And so when your tradition locks into the Word of God, now that is a tradition I can get behind. So we're going to embrace this old tradition and see where it speaks to us from the Word of God. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
There are 7 chants, and they are all prophetic descriptions of Jesus Christ, all from the same book, the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is a prophetic book. The prophet's name is
Isaiah.
All right, excellent, good job. Here is the first antiphone, and here's how it's going to work. It's like a call and response. I'm going to read the first part of this chant, and then you are going to read the last part that starts with the word come. Do you understand? Here's the first part. O wisdom, coming forth from the mouth of the Most High, reaching from one end to the other, mightily and sweetly ordering all things. You say, come and teach us the way of prudence. Number two, O Adonai, meaning Lord, the leader of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the fire of the burning bush and gave him the law of Sinai. To that you say, come and redeem us with an outstretched arm. O root of Jesse, standing as a sign among the peoples, before you kings will shut their mouths. To you the nations will make their prayer, and you respond, come and deliver us. Delay no longer. O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can shut. You shut and no one can open. You say, come and lead the prisoners from the prison house, those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. O morning star, splendor of light eternal and sun of righteousness, you respond, come and enlighten those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. O King of nations and their desire, in the cornerstone making both one. And you say, come and save the human race which you fashioned from clay. And lastly, O Emmanuel, our King and our lawgiver, the hope of the nations and their Savior. And we all say together, come and save us, O Lord, our God. So there were seven chants. And over the next 7 days, there are still churches that will gather. They'll gather in the afternoon at a time they call Vespers. I'm not all that familiar with it. But that will happen this week, and they will come. And each day they will chant one of these chants, and it will be a call and response. Can I tell you that this goes so much further than just a church tradition that's old? At its core is this truth, this idea right here. In the light of what Christ is, we say, come and be. In the light of all who Christ is, all that Christ does, all that Christ has promised, all the truth that is Christ, we need to not just understand it, but we need to say with our voice, come and be that thing that you are. Come be that truth that you are. Come and bring those things that only you can do into our life. I tell you what, people all over the Metroplex gathered at church today, and they learned some good things about God. They learned some good scriptures. They sang a few songs, and that's great and that's awesome. But did they invite the Lord to come? And did they allow the Lord to be? Isaiah 11 and 2 declares our Messiah to be the wisdom of God. Look at this verse right here. Isaiah 11 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. The prophet was talking about the Messiah. 700 years beforehand, he was saying that this guy that's coming is the wisdom of the Lord. That first antiphon we mentioned was straight from this scripture. In light of what Christ is, he is the wisdom of God. We say, come and be. Come and teach us the way of prudence. How many know the way we live our life is usually out of control? The way we usually live our life is not wise. Somebody makes us mad, we get hacked off, and we say something, and does that usually make it better? Has your mouth usually helped you? No, it usually hurts you. What we need is the wisdom of the Lord that's found in Jesus to come, and for him to show us patience, show us prudence, show us what to say, and please, Lord, teach me what not to say, all right? Every man ought to say amen. That should be your prayer. Especially the married men in the house. All right. Next, look at this. Isaiah 33 and 22 declares the Messiah to be Adonai. What does Adonai mean? Lord. Declares Jesus Christ to be the Lord. Isaiah 33 and 22. Look at this. For Adonai, the Lord, is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. In the light of what Christ is, what is he? Who is he? He is the Lord. He's our judge. My goodness, do you realize that the judge, the person that's going to judge you, loves you enough to die for you? If you have this picture of, oh my gosh, judge, there's that word judge again. God's going to judge me. It's going to be awful. Wake up. He died for you. He was born in a manger for you. He's coming back for you. He will get on the ground and ride in the dirt for you. He will touch lepers. He will let people that are sick touch him, and they'll all be healed. That's your judge. He's your Lord. He's your judge. And that's good news. Amen. Thank you for being excited about that. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. In the light of all that he is, we say, come and be those things. Come and be my Lord. Come and be my king. Come and be my judge. And the antiphon said it like this: come and redeem us with an outstretched arm. And sure enough, that's what he did on the cross. Isaiah 11:1 prophetically declared that the Messiah would spring up from the lineage of Jesse. Isaiah 11:1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. I want you to get a load of this prophecy. It's really powerful, because what is a stump? It's part of a tree that's been cut down, right? We're not talking about a tree trunk. We're talking a tree trunk that's now cut off. So there are no branches. There's no way for it to get life from the sun, because there are no leaves. And out of nowhere, this thing that looked dead suddenly comes back to life. And it never dies again, because this root of Jesse is life. Jesus is life, and he gives life to all. Is that the truth? A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. If you feel like you're cut off, if life is over for you, I want you to get a load of this Jesus, because he will grow in places where there is no life. He will bring light to places that are dark. He will give hope to places that are hopeless. That's what our Jesus does. Are you excited about that? Be excited about that. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. In the light of what Christ is, he is resurrection power. He is life and he is fruit. We say, come and be that for us. Come and deliver us, and delay no longer. Isaiah 22:22 declares that Messiah is an authority greater than King David. Now, you got to understand, to an Israelite, to a Jew, to a Hebrew, even today, when you talk about someone greater than David, that is rarefied air. When you read about David in your Bible, the Bible says some amazing things about David. But it says that the Messiah will be key to the house of David. Isaiah 22:22, I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. Some of you have never read this verse before. This is about Jesus Christ. He is the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Let me tell you, God made a promise to David. David received a promise from God that his throne would be established forever. But then David died. And then his son Solomon took the throne, and he died. And then his son Rehoboam took the throne and lost half of the kingdom promptly. And then Rehoboam died. And it just went on, and it didn't get better until there is no more temple, and the place is totally destroyed by Babylon, and they're living in exile. But this prophecy declares that the key is the Messiah, that is going to be the key to fulfilling the prophecy of a throne that's established forever. You realize that Jerusalem was completely destroyed. But God says he's going to resurrect that thing. And guess what? It's been destroyed multiple times and been resurrected multiple times. Why? Because there's a key to the house of David. And this key is going to work no matter what shape the house is in. This key is the most powerful thing. The house isn't the key. The key is the key. The house isn't the important part. The key is the access to the promise. And that's what Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ, he is the key. And without him, nobody can open this door. And without him, nobody can shut this door. He's the key. You know that Jesus says, I'm the door. He's also the key. In the light of what Christ is, we say, come and deliver us. Delay no longer. Sorry, read the wrong one. Come and lead the prisoners from the prison house, those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Do you see Jesus the key letting prisoners out of the prison house? Has he let you out of the prison house? Has he let you out of your darkness and into his light? Is he the key to your life today? What do you think the key to your happiness is? Do you think it's opening a certain kind of gift? Do you think it's an iPhone X? Do you think it's a certain job promotion? What do you think the key to your happiness is? Is it getting a car on Christmas Day? I cannot stand those commercials. Just real quick. I cannot stand those commercials. Oh, they really loved me and gave me what I always wanted. Walk out. My goodness. $45,000 in debt with a big bow on it. It's so wonderful. Car commercials. I hate car commercials. There are no car commercials in heaven. Don't you want to go there? All right. Jesus Christ is the key to your happiness. Jesus is the key to getting out of your depression. Jesus is the key to a happy marriage. Jesus is the key to a good family life. Jesus is the key to heaven. Jesus is the key. Whatever door you want in, whatever, he's the key, y'all. He says, I'll put the key on his shoulder. My goodness. Don't you know the enemy is trying to lock you out? But you got the key. Isaiah 9 and 2 declared the Messiah to be the great light that drives out darkness. Look at this. Isaiah 9, 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isn't that our Jesus? Is he the light of the world?
Amen.
Has he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? Oh, there, those walking in darkness, who remembers the days where you were walking in darkness? Friend, if you're still walking in darkness, you do not have to walk in darkness anymore. There are people in this room, you walked into darkness called drug addiction, but Jesus Christ, he set you free. There's people that they walked into a darkness of bitterness and unforgiveness, but Jesus Christ has set them free. For some of you, you walked into a darkness called hypocrisy and egotism and self-righteousness. Righteousness, but Jesus Christ, he's the light. He's drawn you out of that darkness. Whatever darkness you are in, the light is present. In the light of what Christ is, he is the light. We say, come and be the light of the world. Come and enlighten those that dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Isaiah 2 and 4 declared that Messiah would be the king of all nations. A lot of people, they read the Bible and they just think it's about nationalism. It's just about the nation of Israel. No, Jesus is the king of all nations.
Amen.
There's some nations that were found on atheist principles, communism and atheism. He's the king over those. He's going to be the king over those places. You watch and see. There's some nations that are founded on other religions. Okay, Jesus is going to be the king over that nation too. He's going to be the king over all nations. And you want him the king over all nations because he's the only king that rules in peace. You know this about you know how kings rule? Even right now, we've got like standoff stuff between us and North Korea. It's like, who's going to blow up who and where are the Russians? Oh my goodness. And it makes you nervous because there are men with power to blow up massive amounts of stuff at the push of a button. That's not how Jesus operates. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his kingdom and the reign of his kingdom and, who knows the next word? Peace. The reign of his kingdom and peace. There is nobody else that even makes sense to say the reign of their kingdom and peace. Because every other world leader in the world is their kingdom and their military might. Their kingdom and their bomb. Their kingdom and their army. Their kingdom and their swords. Their kingdom and their machine guns. But no, the reign of Jesus is kingdom and peace. Who knows the rest? Has no end. When he's king of the kingdom, that nation has no end and has no end to their peace. Are you not experiencing peace today? I got to ask you, who's your king? Who's your king? Who's your king? Because the reign of his kingdom and peace, say it, has no end. Isaiah 2:4 says this, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares. The swords that they used to kill people with, we don't need these anymore. We'll use them to hoe our garden. We will use them to plant vineyards. We will use them to plant vegetables. All right. Do you see that? And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Don't you want that? Yeah. Don't you want that? Jesus is the way for that. Jesus is the promise for that. And people have been hoping for this promise and asking him to come do this for a very long time. Isaiah 64:8 declares our Lord to be Father, the potter who formed us from clay. Isaiah 64:8. Yet you, Lord our Father, we are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. In light of all that Christ is, he's the king of all nations, and he's the potter of every person. In light of that, we say, come and save the human race, which you formed out of clay. You've got enemies, I get it, I get it. Be honest real quick. You've got some people that get on your nerves, and you actually put them in the enemy category. Let me tell you, God formed that person. And it's God's greatest desire to save that person. Would you say today, God, come and save that person? You know their name. God, come and say, why don't you right now close your eyes? You don't say their name out loud because you might be sitting next to them. And did you about say Shelton? All right. But real quick, could you just one moment say, God, save that person. You formed them out of clay just like you formed me. God, come and be the savior for them, just like you're the savior of me. Thank you, Lord. I'm drawing to a close here. I'm already going to have Shelton come. We're going to be praying in the few minutes, but as we're looking at this very last antiphon, what's the last one about? It's about Emmanuel. O come Emmanuel is about this. And all these antiphons start this. It starts emphatically with oh, like we're talking directly to him. Oh, King. Oh, Emmanuel, oh, wisdom. And then the response is, come. There's something wrong if we talk to God and we don't invite him to come. It's not enough to know the birth story of Jesus. You need to know the birth story of Jesus and invite that same Jesus to come into your life. Isaiah 7:14 declared something so amazing. Isaiah 7:14, look at this. Therefore, the Lord himself. Aren't you glad when the Lord does things himself?
Yeah. Amen.
Lord uses us. Sometimes he asks us to do it, but really it's him doing it himself. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This chapter is really fascinating to me. He's talking to a king, and he asks the king, what sign do you want? You want a sign from me? And the king's like, I don't know. Probably how I'd respond too. I'd mess up too. I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know what sign. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's read it. Right there in Isaiah 7. And Sarah, then the Lord just speaks up and says, okay, I'll give you a sign myself. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And we'll call him Emmanuel. And we all know what Emmanuel means. It means God with us. I love this verse. It's like a double meaning because the Lord himself gives the sign, but also the Lord himself is the sign.
Yeah.
Do you see that? The Lord himself will give you a sign. Here's the deal. Far too often we just want a sign. God wants to give you a sign, but he also wants to become your sign. Do you see that? Do you understand that? Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that. That not only does he want to give you the job, he wants you to realize that he is Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides. Not only is he the one that wants to take away your sickness, he wants you to understand that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. Not only does he want you to save you, he wants you to realize that he is Jesus, the Jehovah Savior. Whatever you need in life, he doesn't want to just give you a sign. A reason to believe. He wants to step into it and be the answer for all your problems. He wants to be the one you believe in. That you don't just believe in his power, you believe in his love. You don't just believe what he does, you believe in his motive towards you. I believe in his motive towards me. I not only do I believe he'll heal you, I believe his motive towards you is so beautiful and so wonderful. If you ever got a real dose of that, you'd never question him again. And every time he talks to you, you would jump at the opportunity to obey him. Every time you opened up your Bible, you wouldn't be like questioning, like, well, what is God trying to pull here? No, you would trust his motive. When he tells you, go ahead and pull a few dollars out of your wallet, you wouldn't get upset and say, God, church just wants my money. No, you would say, God, I trust your motive, and it all comes from you. You're the one that is the sign. You're the one that gives the sign. You are Emmanuel. You're the one that's with me. You see, that baby that's born in a manger, he is Emmanuel. Now, I know they named him Jesus. The Bible tells us why, for he will save his people from our sins. But the other sign is that he's more than just a baby. He is actually the God of all heaven and earth with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And that is never to be forgotten. That's never to be looked past, that God was born in that manger, and those that were in that manger setting were with him. And that this same Jesus, when we sing about him, we're not just singing about him, we're with him. We have a God who wants to be with us. We also have a God who wants to be in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our scripture reading talks about that Spirit of the Son that adopts us into sonship. And we cry, Abba, Father. That is that very same Jesus. That is the sign we're looking for. That is amazing. It is so powerful. There was a sign given to us straight from the Lord himself. A virgin shall conceive. That son will be Emmanuel. That son will be God with us. In light of what Christ is, come and be. God, I give you permission to come be with me. They said this in the sixth century. They said, come and save us, O Lord our God. You may be celebrating Christmas, but are you seeing the light of who Jesus is? And if you are seeing the light of who he is, are you inviting him to come and be? You may be singing Christmas carols, but are you seeing the light of who Jesus is? And are you inviting him to come and be. You may know the story of Christ's birth, but are you really seeing the light of who Jesus is? Are you inviting him to come and be? Can you stand on your feet? I want you to say this sentence one more time. Put that right on the screen so they can see it. In the light of what Christ is, we say, come and be. Jesus Christ has come, and he is everything you need. Invite Christ into your life today. Wouldn't it be dumb to have a Christless Christmas? That would be pretty dumb, but we've done it. I've done it. I've had Christless Christmases where I thought more about decorations, where I thought more about the presents, where I thought more about, will so-and-so like this gift, where I thought more and more about what I was going to get than who came to save me. Wouldn't it be dumb to have a Christless Christmas? I repent of Christless Christmases. I repent of it. In the light of who you are, I ask you to come and be. In just a moment, I'm going to say just a few more sentences, then I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to invite you to come. And when you come today, I want you to invite Jesus to come and share this space with you, share time with you, share thoughts. Why don't you give him some thoughts? Like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going crazy. Whatever that is. And invite him to speak to you. Share his thoughts towards you. If you're in this place and you have like special needs, like you really want the Lord to do something in your life. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you just need answers. Maybe you just want to feel his presence. His presence is a miracle. Where I'm standing right now is in the first 2 feet. I want you to come right here in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you, and I believe God's going to meet your need. I believe you're going to feel him right here in this place. These altars are open right now. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, nobody's going to bother you. It's between you and the Lord. In the light of all that Jesus Christ is, we say, come, come and be. Father, I pray for every person.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.